And you've got my 96.7 FM WTLR AM 1270. It's another edition of Off to the Races on this Saturday morning, and we certainly appreciate each and every one of you joining us. We have got a heck of a show on tap for you today. Very excited about the interview that we had with our man John Rallis, and that's a name that might not be too familiar with Ohioans, but let me tell you a little bit about John. John is one of the best young harness horse handicappers, I think, in the business, and you're going to hear why over the span of that 12 or 13 minute interview that we conducted with John here coming up in just a few minutes. John is the handicapper analysis TV talent at Woodbine Mohawk up in Canada, and he is also does a lot of work for the Meadowlands. You see him quite frequently on the in-house handicapping show there as well. And this is and I said this actually leading up to his interview, he's just one of the sharpest guys. Like, when he talks, you know that he's one of the guys that knows what he's talking about when it comes to handicapping horses and picking winners. And this guy does it with regularity. So we're going to have John on the program here in just a couple of minutes, and you guys are going to hear what I'm talking about. Plus, we're going to take a look at last Saturday's doings at Dayton Raceway in Dayton, Ohio. How about all the track records being set? How many track records were set? Well, we're going to tell you in segment three on this program. Dayton Derbies for their respective divisions. Not only did we have the Ohio-sired superstars plying their trade at Dayton, but also the world's best trotters and pacers that Harness Racing's got to offer. They all converged at Dayton last week, and we're going to kind of tell you about all the action. Believe me, there was a lot of great action at Dayton last week. And plus, we're going to kind of take a look ahead. We've got the Buckeye Stallion Series finals coming up. We've got Fair finals coming up as well here in the state of Ohio, all going for some pretty good money. So still plenty of racing action left of the stakes season here in the state of Ohio before we kind of hunker down and get back into the winter kind of part of the season. Well, this show could not be possible if it weren't for these fine people. The Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association, let me get out my trusty cheat sheet here that is all crumbled up. The Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association, breed in Ohio, buy in Ohio, race in Ohio, and win in Ohio. Also brought to you by the Ohio State University Veterinary Medical Center. They've got caring down to a science and Cashman's Horse Equipment Outlet and drive-through feed store. Visit them online at cashmans.com. Once again, John Rallis going to be joining the program here in just a couple of minutes. We're going to be taking a look at the action from Dayton Raceway last Saturday. Plus, maybe even talk a little bit about the Buckeye Stallion Series coming up along with the Fair Finals. I believe that's in a week and a half from now. So lots of action, as we said, still coming up here in the state of Ohio as far as Ohio-sired pacers and trotters, Ohio superstars are concerned. And not much stakes action left on the Grand Circuit. That's really coming down to a close at the Breeders' Crown at the end of the month. You've got Off to the Races on my 96.7 FM WTLR and AM 1270. John Rallis on the other side of this commercial timeout.
Love horses? If you show, race, or just like to ride, Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center is here to help your horse live its best life. Our team of board-certified equine specialists provide world-class medical care and surgical care, 24-hour emergency critical care, neonatal intensive care, and advanced diagnostics and imaging 365 days a year. On-farm care is also available through our Columbus and Marysville locations. Call 614-292-6661. Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center. Caring down to a science.
Join the fast-paced, exciting world of harness racing. There are hundreds of immediate openings across Ohio for caretakers and grooms. Work with the greatest equine athletes in the country. Standardbred trainers need your help. Health insurance, vision care, prescription benefits, and a retirement plan are available for those that qualify. For more information on how you can be a part of the exciting world of harness racing, call 614-221-3650. That's 614-221-3650.
Cashman's Horse Equipment, proudly serving the equine and livestock community for over 40 years. Do you need rubber mats for your horse stalls? Horse safe fencing for your farm? A round pen to exercise your next winter? Cashman's has you covered, featuring the highest quality items at the best prices. Visit our friendly and knowledgeable team Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and shop over 10 acres of inventory. Conveniently located in Delaware, Ohio on US 42 North, just minutes from the home of the iconic Little Brown Jug. Or shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
And we are back on Off to the Races. You got my 96.7 FM, WDLR AM 1270. And school is in session, so make sure you get out your notebooks and make sure you've got a good writing utensil, because we are joined by one of the premier handicappers in the sport of harness racing, the one, the only, John Rallis. John, welcome into the program.
I appreciate you having me, Mike. It's an honor.
All right. Well, listen, buddy, we're going to do what we do best, and that's talk handicapping. We talked off the air about it. We'd love to talk handicapping. We'd love to really take a lot of different angles. And you, my friend, bring a very fresh approach to handicapping. We're going to get to all that in a second, but I want to get to know a little bit about you. Tell us how you kind of got involved in the sport of harness racing.
Yeah, you know, Mike, I've told this story a couple times before to different people. It was, I'm related to Chris Christopher, who my mom is at least. So I have some harness racing royalty in my blood, right? They're from the same village, my mom and Christine from Astomeritis in Cyprus. And, you know, obviously being born in Canada, my dad, I grew up with my dad just being involved in racing. He loved watching the races. He was at the track frequently. I would go and watch the races with him in person. And, just as I grew older, I was a big sports nut. And for me, like, I would look at the handicapping pages and the program pages, and I would be fascinated at all the numbers and all the lines. And I was always really big on kind of numbers and percentages. So I used to grab his programs going up and said to myself, like, why is this horse winning? Why is that horse winning? And I wanted to kind of learn for myself. So while I had some people who were prominent figures in the game, they never really aided me in that regard, right? So I just decided to learn everything on my own. And, I'm still learning. I feel like I've did some pretty good learning on my own. I felt like I've developed some pretty good, habits. And I kind of found some decent angles on my own. But, I just decided to take a kind of a self-made approach. And I feel like it's worked out pretty well.
No question about it. And of course, and that's one of the things I think, and I was mostly self-taught as well. And I think if you teach yourself, right, and you don't have somebody that teaches you, you kind of learn it a different way, in the sense that, you know, you're not taught. It's kind of original. And I think that's a lot of the reason why, and at least in my opinion anyway, that you bring such a fresh approach to handicapping. Let's dive right into it. The first thing we do, okay, we get our program, we got our program in front of us, and we start to kind of skim through the pages and check things out. What's the first thing that we start to look for when we look at a page of a harness race?
You know what? I think the first thing you want to see is, obviously, I think a trainer change is imperative, right? Not that some trainers, every trainer works hard, but I think that there are some trainers, when you see trainer changes, they definitely catch your attention, and I think that's something that merits respect, right? If you're going from a lower percentage barn to a higher percentage barn, that's not to say that, you know, the lower percentage barns are doing a poor job. It's just that the higher percentage barns might be able to, you know, have a different kind of training regimen that might be able to bring, more out of a horse. That's why I stay with Randy on air when I get to work with a Hall of Fame driver. And I say, sometimes a new set of hands, sometimes a new set of eyes, you're going to bode well for a horse. But I'll tell you one thing, Mike. One thing that I learned is, again, from grabbing those program pages from my dad early. I used to grab every program and start watching replays from 8 months in advance on every horse and watch 8 months worth of races. I realized that the program pages are a bit of a liar. The lines might look appealing, but sometimes the races itself don't catch your attention visually. So I do think that they could tell a little bit of a lie. Like, some of my scores or results, I've come from horses that have finished eighth or seventh, beaten X amount of lengths, right? And I think the same goes for you. I think watching races, and paying attention to detail, I think that's imperative, really.
Now, obviously, watching replays is obviously very important, especially to a skilled handicapper, because, you know, my dad always said, the only thing they don't lie to you in this world are your eyes. You use them two eyes for a reason, you know. And as far as, but on that level, though, it certainly can be time consuming. I mean, for somebody that doesn't have a whole lot of time, you know, to watch replays, that could certainly be a time consuming challenge, so to speak. So if we just kind of want to turn on a replay, watch a horse's performance, what are some of the things that we can kind of catch during the span of a replay that can maybe lead us to making a couple of bucks bet on that horse?
I always tell people, I think that sometimes what I've grown up watching, and again, I was naive to this element of it, and I think sometimes being naive kind of helps you a little bit. I was naive to, you know, at the beginning of people telling me, oh, well, this horse is a three-year-old, he's facing olders. I didn't really understand that, you know, standpoint, that they've got some stakes engagement going on. I think over the past year, I've stopped handicapping based on what drivers are going to do mentally, right? I want to just handicap solely on talent, but I think what you want to focus on really is body language of a horse, right? Look at the body language of the horse, look at the body language of a driver, right? Especially if a driver's sitting behind a horse for the first time, right? They're trying to get a feel for the horse. They might not be familiar with the horse. I think that's something to focus on. I remember I loved a horse off a qualifier one time, and I got beat by another horse who didn't have a great line, and I think that was really the turning point for me, Mike, is I figured to myself, how did I get beat by this horse? Whose line wasn't so appealing, and I went back and watched the replay. I watched the body language of the horse and the driver. The trip was troubled, and that really caught my attention, and that's what really clicked the light bulb on me and said, you know what, while maybe some of the other lines don't look as appealing, there's 10 horses in a race. You make sure you watch replay on all 10 horses, because you might catch something that you don't see. And look, you've got to get creative. You know this yourself, like, you've got to handicap sometimes horses that they might leave out, they might be in position to leave, and they might be sitting on a pretty good effort. So you have to add an element of creativity that maybe the paper doesn't show, but you've got to kind of anticipate on your own right.
Visiting with John Rallis. John, let's talk a little bit about how to bet as opposed to who to bet. I think, you know, it's how to bet can sometimes be more of a challenge than who to bet, because a lot of times, you know, you could look at the program within a couple minutes, you kind of know who the best horse is, you kind of know who the top contenders are, you kind of know the horses that maybe you can pitch out. But then it gets to the challenge of, okay, how do we maximize value? How do we make money this race now that we have the players involved? Maybe some advice on how to structure tickets, how to seek value, things of that sort.
You know what, like, I know we're kind of paid to sometimes, you know, in our roles, Mike, where we have to kind of say we've got to play X, sequence Y. You know what, like, I mean, as much as we are there to kind of pump up sequences and wagering, sometimes I think it's okay to settle the sequence. And I'll tell you one thing that I learned quickly. It's okay to lose. And what I mean by that is I think people are so fixated on wanting to cash tickets. Cashing tickets isn't the end goal. It's maximizing your return on investment. Right, like, if you want to take a stance on a horse, if you think there's a susceptible 1-to-5 shot, play against them, pitch them entirely. There's no use of using them along with another horse. Okay, this horse can win, but I think this horse could be a challenge. What is the use of using both? If the 1-to-5 shot wins, you're wasting equity entirely. People are so afraid of losing. I mean, there's guys who sometimes will tell me, I want to play this ticket, and they'll kind of have me survey their tickets, and I said, you're playing to break even. It's okay to lose a ticket. I think people have to learn that and be acceptable with that, because I think that in the long term, when you're playing the right way, I think you're going to benefit from it. And I know some people probably, listen, there's different ways to skin a cat, Mike. I get that. But I think you want to develop good habits for players, because I think that's going to incentivize them coming back. And I think it's the greatest betting game in the world. I mean, I grew up, you know, betting on sports. You can't get the type of return that you can get on horse racing, because you're playing in a parimutuel pool. So if you can think a little bit differently than others, that's where you can capitalize. And why do you want to be on the same horse that everybody else is on if you think you can find an advantage in a certain race or sequence?
No question about it. Very, very good advice. And, you know, it is a very difficult game, but it can be a rewarding game. But, you know, listen, it comes with challenges, and kind of like poker, kind of like sports betting, any kind of betting you're going to do, it also comes with your share of bad beats. And I think mentally you kind of have to be prepared. You know, good friend of mine, Rich Matei, I know he's come close to hitting monster pick sixes, but coming to within one race where he's got half the field and he doesn't connect. So, but I keep telling him, you know, listen, that's the problem with being a good handicap. Capper is you are going to have them kind of beats. It's going to happen.
Oh, a big time. You have to go into a sequence knowing that you might be up against it. I've lost a lot of races on horses that I deemed as overlays, worked out couple trips, but I keep telling everybody this, and whether it's handicapping or driving or anything you do in life, it really is process over results. I know that can be cliche, but if you are backing susceptible favorites or favorites that are quote-unquote bad bets, they might get across, but it's not the right process. And there might be a stretch where you have bad luck for a course of a 3, 4, 5 week stretch. I guarantee you, if you stay the course long-term and back horses that you're supposed to be playing, supposed to be betting that were deemed as good wagers, you're going to get rewarded over the course of a long term. It might not feel like it in the present moment. I always tell people, stay the course. Because I've often said to people, I felt like I was on the right horse. Maybe it wasn't the winning result, but I often feel like I'm on the right horse. And the beauty of horse racing, Mike, is you can capitalize on a sequence even if the horse isn't a winner, right? There's so many different ways to play.
Visiting with John Rallis. John, another question or two before we let you go. And we all know that, you know, harness racing isn't doing as well as it was in the past. And obviously, a myriad of factors. I mean, competition, you've got casino gaming, got sports betting now taking hold. So just, we're not the only game in town anymore as we were maybe, say, 30, 40 years ago. Listen, you got a newcomer sitting across from you, and you're trying to make your case. Hey, I want you to bet in racing. I want you to wager harness racing. I want you to use that disposable income in wagering harness racing. How would you talk them into it as opposed to taking that same money and betting it on sports or casino?
Again, you're not betting against the house, right? If that's the biggest challenge of when you're playing poker, when you're playing, sports betting. You're betting in a pari-mutuel pool, which I think it's such a big advantage. It's why I emphasize carryovers are such a great bet, and why takeout is so important. The beauty of horse racing is you're not playing against an entity. You're playing against a pari-mutuel pool, right? Yeah, the CAWs are a prominent figure in this racing, but I still think that, especially when it comes to two-year-old races, I don't think CAWs have that level of advantage, right, that we do when you can assess qualifiers, assess tendencies of horses. As much as people want to integrate AI and CAWs into racing, AI can't account for, a certain horse's tendencies, what a driver's going to do. I still think there's ways away of incorporating AI into horse racing. I think that there could be a benefit in terms of giving handicappers more data. Like, I'm a big user of TrackIt, which is a Canadian tool to watch all the race lines from beyond just the five that we're accustomed to in the program. I wish that we got a more in-depth look, right? I wish we could see shoeing changes from each and every start, bridle changes from each and every start. The more data we can give to players, I think the far better that we are going to be. So we've got so many sports wagering dollars that are... A bunch of my friends wager on sports. Why can't we use those dollars onto racing, which I think is the greatest betting game in the world? People love to play. The economy might be kind of trending, a certain way. People still love to wager. We need to garner those wagering dollars to horse racing and have people realize that horse racing really is the greatest betting game in the world. So I keep preaching that, to my friends. I keep preaching that in public settings. It's a reason why I transitioned from sports betting to horse racing. I really do think horse racing is the greatest betting game in the world. I hope a larger contingent of our younger audience realize that as well.
That's right, and it is satisfying when you're successful as a handicapper because, listen, if you figure out a race, 99% of the other people didn't. So you figured it out right, they didn't. So there's definitely a little competition thing going on with pari-mutuel racing. I love it. I agree with you. I think it is, without question, the best betting game in the world. John, listen, we certainly appreciate you joining us. You can catch John on the Woodbine Mohawk in-house handicapping feed along with Randy. I'll tell you, you guys do a heck of a job, by the way. I just love watching you guys with two different perspectives, him as a horseman and you as a technical handicapper. I think it's great. And, John, we also can catch you a lot of times at the Meadowlands as well doing the in-house stuff.
Big time, and I'll be at the Lexington this coming weekend, Mike, and I always look forward to being there. You know, I went there for the first time last year. I'm going to be there again this year for a couple of days, and I just love to be where the action is. But you know what, Mike, the same thing that me and you have in common, we love the sport, we love handicapping, we love everything about it, right? Like, this is such a great game, and we just want to continue to see it progress and just get better because we're fans of the sport. We never want to see it go the opposite way.
No question. John, we certainly appreciate you joining us, buddy. Best of luck to you in the future.
I appreciate it, Mike, and I appreciate you having me as well, and look forward to seeing you in the future as well.
Well, if you didn't know who John Rallis was, you certainly know who John Rallis is now from Woodbine Mohawk. You hear him a lot as well, see him a lot on the in-house handicapping horse show at the Meadowlands. And John is one of the bright young minds of announcing. I've known John for a short time, but when you hear him do interviews, when you hear him give analysis, you know darn well. It's like, okay, this guy knows what the heck he's talking about. You know, unlike you hear somebody like me talking, you're like, well, that guy knows what he's talking about maybe like 5% of the time. Now, John knows his stuff. He knows exactly what he's talking about. He puts a lot of time and effort into handicapping the races, and that's what makes him a successful player. He texted me, about a month ago, about a horse that he really liked it, where I announced at Harris Philadelphia in suburban Philadelphia, and the horse won and paid like $70 to win. He said, I told you. I said, man, I should have took your advice. The checkbook would have been looking in a lot better shape if I would have done that. Still left to come on, lots left to come on this edition of Off to the Races. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the action last week, Dayton Derby. You've got My96.7 FM.
Cashman's Horse Equipment, proudly serving the equine and livestock community for over 40 years. Do you need rubber mats for your horse stalls? Horse-safe fencing for your farm? A round pen to exercise your next winter? Cashman's has you covered, featuring the highest quality items at the best prices. Visit our friendly and knowledgeable team Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and shop over 10 acres of inventory. Conveniently located in Delaware, Ohio, on US 42 North, just minutes from the home of the iconic Little Brown Jug. Or shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Love horses? If you show, race, or just like to ride, Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center is here to help your horse live its best life. Our team of board-certified equine specialists provide world-class medical care and surgical care, 24-hour emergency critical care, neonatal intensive care, and advanced diagnostics and imaging 365 days a year. On-farm care is also available through our Columbus and Marysville locations. Call 614-292-6661. Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center. Caring. Down to a science.
Join the fast-paced, exciting world of harness racing. There are hundreds of immediate openings across Ohio for caretakers and grooms. Work with the greatest equine athletes in the country. Standardbred trainers need your help. Health insurance, vision care, prescription benefits, and a retirement plan are available for those that qualify. For more information on how you can be a part of the exciting world of harness racing, call 614-221-3650. That's 614-221-3650.
It was a big, big card last Saturday at Dayton Raceway. Dayton Derby action for their respective divisions, plus Scarlet Championships for the Ohio Sinus Stakes horses. And the fireworks started right away in race one with the three-year-old Philly Trotters in Ohio Sinus Stakes competition. Jailhouse Pearl getting the job done at 4-1 for trainer Eric Nesselrode and driver Austin Hanners. The very next race was the Ohio Sinks Scarlet Championships for the two-year-old Philly Pacers. That going to the Burke Bagain's Seaside Shuffle in a time of 151-3. Boy, what a year Ron Burke is having. Ohio Sire Stakes action for the 2-year-old colt and gelding trotters going to Big Ranger. Team Gillespie getting the job done there at 80 cents on the dollar, 153-4 the final time. The Ohio Sire Stakes Scarlet Championship for the 2-year-old colt and gelding pacers going to another Burke Brigade horse, Lindy Dragonwater, and Ron Burke races 1, 2, 3 in that particular race. Race 5 was the Dayton Oaks Derby for the 3-year-old trotters, 3-year-old and up trotters, grade 1 going to the gutsy and game and classy MM Stream. Another win there for trainer Ron Burke at a time of 151-3. Next race was Scarlet Championships for 3-year-old Philly Paces. That went to Prolific Fire, a horse that we saw in Delaware, Ohio on our broadcast here a couple of weeks ago. Just look outstanding. 4-1 winner there. $250,000 Dayton Trotting Derby Grand Circuit for the 3-year-olds and up for the trot going to Lexus Cody. That was one of the great efforts that I can remember of any horse, any gate, trotting and pacer. Lexus Cody was buried along the inside, somehow found room to sweep past another Burke Brigade horse, 70 cents on the dollar. Ohio Sire Stakes Scarlet Championship, the 3-0 Colton Gelding Pacers going to Harrisburg Heist. And once again, trainer Ron Burke wins 1, 2, 3 in that particular race. Harrisburg Heist at 148-3. Race 9 was the Dayton Distaff Derby for 3-year-olds and up on the pace. That one goes to Twin Bee Joe Fresh. Sylvia Hanover, her main rival, raced out of her shoes. She was parked them all that particular race. But Twin Bee Joe Fresh is back on her game at Dayton. Race 10, Ohio Sire Stakes Scarlet Championships. This one for the 3-year-old Colton Gelding Trotters. That going to LT Loverboy, who was a horse that I said on our broadcast, and Keith Gisser agreed with me, this is a horse that you put in your back pocket and wait for next time. He's had a horrible trip from the second tier at Delaware. Pops back to win at 9-2 in that one. Race number 11, Dayton Pacing Derby for the 3-year-olds and up on the pace going to Irvin Hanover in a spectacular 147-2 for trainer Dave Menery and driver Louis-Philippe Bois. And then race number 12 was the final stakes event of the night. Ohio Sire Stakes for 2-year-old Philly Trotters going to Set Your Sights High, winning as the favorite for trainer Marcus Meadlander. Well, oh, by the way, I believe there were 8 track records on Dayton. Correct me if I'm wrong. I believe there was 8. This program is brought to you by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Breed in Ohio, buy in Ohio, race in Ohio, and win in Ohio. We're also brought to you by the Ohio State University Veterinary Medical Center. They've got caring down to a science and Cashman's Horse Equipment Outlet and drive-through feed store. Visit them online at cashmans.com. We appreciate each and every one of you joining us. We will see you next Saturday morning with another edition of Off to the Races at 9:30 a.m. So long, everybody.
It's known as the Great American Harness Race, the Little Brown Jug, and it's held right here in Delaware, Ohio. Why? Because Ohio is the heartland of harness racing. In Ohio, the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association keeps things running smoothly and is here to make sure that harness racing remains strong. Breed in Ohio, buy in Ohio, race in Ohio, and win in Ohio. Join us and keep Ohio as the driving force of harness racing. Call 800-353-6442, the OHHA.
Cashman's Horse Equipment, proudly serving the equine and livestock community for over 40 years. Do you need rubber mats for your horse stalls? Horse safe fencing for your farm? A round pen to exercise your next winter? Cashman's has you covered, featuring the highest quality items at the best prices. Visit our friendly and knowledgeable team Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. and shop over 10 acres of inventory. Conveniently located in Delaware, Ohio on US 42 North, just minutes from the home of the iconic Little Brown Jug. Or shop online anytime at cashmans.com.
Love horses? If you show, race, or just like to ride, Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center is here to help your horse live its best life. Our team of board-certified equine specialists provide world-class medical care and surgical care, 24-hour emergency critical care, neonatal intensive care, and advanced diagnostics and imaging 365 days a year. On-farm care is also available through our Columbus and Marysville locations. Call 614-292-6661. Ohio State's Galbraith Equine Center. Caring down to a science.